thank you so much for listening to another episode of CX Chronicles Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Brady Chisana. Tune in each week as we listen to amazing customer-focused business leaders from across the world sharing their personal stories about their teams, tools, process, and feedback. Check us out at cxchronicles.com today or listen on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. Today's episode is brought to you by Tidio, the only AI-powered customer experience software designed for small and medium-sized online businesses. Tidio takes the pressure off your support team. The software enables you to manage all of your communication channels in a single dashboard and uses artificial intelligence to sort your conversations and highlight customer questions that need an urgent response. Tidio helps you improve your response times by answering common questions with canned responses. The software's conversational AI can also answer 4 out of 5 customer questions in seconds, allowing your support agents to focus on complex problems. Tidio also helps you increase sales with personalized shopping experiences. The automated chatbots engage customers with product recommendations and discounts based on their behavior, leading to increased conversion rates. Maximize your support capacity without additional hiring costs. Try Tidio today. Visit Tidio.com/CXC and start using Tidio with an exclusive 20% discount or start with a free plan and upgrade later. Hey guys, are you looking for ways that you can improve your company's customer experience, customer success, and revenue operations? Then reach out to CX Chronicles. We created CXC after years of being practitioners ourselves, experiencing firsthand the challenges and opportunities of building and managing CXCS revenue operations team from the ground up at a scaling organization. Why work with CX Chronicles? Number one, you get executive level expertise and credibility from day one. We jump in and ramp up as quickly as you need us. Number two, you get actionable CTAs that will maximize your CX and CS ROI. We investigate and audit the economics of your existing CX and CS structure and determine how it can be optimized. And number three, check out our amazing CX and CS focused SaaS partners. We're working with Salesforce, HubSpot, Sturdy, Zendesk, Customer, Help Scout, Churn Zero, Freshworks, and more. Reach out to CXE today, guys. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the CX Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Brady Chisana. We have a great show today, guys. Marius Laza, Chief Customer Officer at Tidio, is going to be joining us. Marius, why don't you say hello to the CX Nation, my friend?
Hey, everyone. Great to be here.
So, guys, obviously, many of you that are tuning in each and every week, you know that we're constantly on the search and on the hunt for incredible customer-focused business leaders from across the world that are thinking about all the different ways that you can not just build but deliver upon incredible customer experiences. And Marius is here to join us today. He's got an awesome story, awesome background. He's working at a super-duper cool company in Tidio that is doing exactly that. Marius, why don't you take the microphone, my friend. Start today's show off like we start all these episodes. Before we get into the pillars, I'd love to just kind of hear a little bit about you, and I'd love to hear a little bit about some of the stepping stones in your own career that led to you being the Chief Customer Officer at Tidio.
Yeah, how it all started, right? So
yes, sir.
I've been thinking about this because I didn't quite realize that there's a theme going through it, but there is one. And I actually started in freelancing. So when I first did any type of work, I think I wasn't even old enough to get a card to get paid on. I was 17 when I first started. And it was SEO article writing. So that's kind of the freelance work that I did for a couple of years between like 17 and 19. But then I kind of slowly got attracted to like working with customers, getting deeper into customer experience, customer success. So actually, if you kind of look at my LinkedIn profile, it's community management, then some customer support. Then from that went on to work at a company called Instapage, where I started as basically a customer success manager and kind of grew up the ranks to the VP of customer experience, managed a professional services team for a little while as well. And then a couple of years ago, moved on to Tidio, where I'm the chief customer officer and also deployed our sales team. So I can tell you a couple of stories about that. But if you look at kind of this entire history, it's all about kind of working with customers, even from back when I was a freelancer, trying to offer them a great experience without even knowing what that was 15 years ago. And actually the other thing that kind of ties it together is this conversion optimization. The company I spent the most time on 8 years at Instapage was a landing page builder with the purpose of increasing conversions. So it was also about kind of improving the customer experience on your landing pages, getting more conversions. So yeah, I think it's customer success, conversion optimization. That's my background. And looks like that's my kind of zone of excellence as well. And now in the last couple of years, being able to work for a company that actually builds a customer experience platform was a bit of a dream come true. So I really enjoyed that as well. And I can tell you more about it.
That's fantastic, man. I think like the first thing that I absolutely love that you're coming out of the gates with is just this notion. I promise you, I talk about this literally all the time, not only on the podcast, but with our clients at CXC about, you know, customer experience and customer success done well in today's world is modern selling, right? Like businesses and executives that understand that if you can really truly break down and understand all the intricate facets of your customer journey, right? From the very, very beginning point of how somebody ever becomes aware of you in the universe, all the way to the end of retention, loyalty, well, they keep buying and buying again and again and again. If not even better, they keep buying. Plus, they keep introducing you to your next set of customers. That is modern selling. It's literally modern selling. What's funny is chief customer officers, chief experience officers, people in your role, this is still a newer thing. Like these are leading companies that employ somebody at the executive leadership team table where their full responsibility is thinking about that. So I love your background. I love the fact that you were very much built in community management, revenue, servicing and sales. That's built for an excellent CCO, my friend. One other thing that you mentioned, I just want to call it really quick. It's this notion of like, I think a lot of growth companies, certainly not necessarily established companies, they figure this stuff out early, but a lot of growth companies forget how connected all this is. Meaning like the customer experience, whether you're a product, whether you're a service, whatever you're selling, it literally starts at the point of marketing and sales. And the fact that you started as a community manager, that must have helped you, whether maybe even at the time of your career you realized it or not, but like building a community around a product or service makes you far more dispensable, far more irreplaceable. I'm sorry. Where basically when people understand and they buy into your product or your service or your theme, like that makes it a lot stickier, right? It's not just a piece of software or the willy or the where, but like there's a group of people with a common purpose around it. So that's super cool that's kind of where you cut your teeth.
Yeah, I think all roads lead to customer success or customer experience. and that's kind of what I found out without even realizing it. So I feel like it's most evolved maybe in software as a service, the need, the understanding as well. I feel like even there, it's not quite there yet because I, of course, you probably feel the same. Like we're always pushing for more and we're always not satisfied with how the industry is trying to catch up. But I do think software as a service really understands that better than most industries, right? With customer success, customer experience. But then it's true for anyone. It's true for a brick and mortar store, right? Everything is customer experience, right? So I'm excited to talk more about it.
Wait, we should make t-shirts to say all roads lead to customer experience.
I like it.
That would literally be a banger. That would be a banger. Maris, I'd love to jump into the first CX pillar of team ends. And I'm excited about this because I want you to take your time on this one. I'd love to just kind of hear how today's team at Tidio has been built. What type of departments, what type of different roles do you guys have spanned across that customer journey? And then I'd love for you to dive in and get granular on your team and all the amazing folks that are on the customer-facing team at Tidio that you're working with each and every single day.
Yeah, and I want to hear your thoughts as well, because we're kind of just getting started. And as I said, kind of joining in the last couple of years, we have a fairly large team right now. It's about 30 people on the customer experience department, all in all. And to me, I always think about it in kind of two different sectors. So one of them is this support side, where we're basically just trying to fix problems, both reactively and proactively. And then the other side is customer success, where you go deeper into high touch and kind of really understand why clients are signing up. So I want to give you the context as well. We have huge volume. We are the most installed customer experience platform for e-commerce as well. So that's kind of the core. We have about 300,000 active businesses. So we have some pretty high numbers. And that kind of takes me to what can you do with even 30 people to support 300,000 businesses.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah. So that part of for me is that customer support part. You need to be fast. You need to have high quality. You need to have the proper channels of communications. And we actually do that through our own platform. So we use our own platform for it. But that's half of it. So to me, that's the solved problem of customer experience. And I'm curious to know your thoughts if that's saying too much or not. But just being there for clients, being able to respond quickly, high quality. And yeah, just offering customer support. Do you feel like that's a solved problem in the industry? Do most companies do it right? Are we almost there yet? Or is this something that still is kind of discovered?
Look, I think number one, I think every single company and every single customer base has a different set of requirements, right? So that's number one. Number two, every company arrives at what works best for them in a little bit different of a path, right? And all roads leads to CX. But there's different avenues and there's different ways and there's different maps and different paths that you can take to get there, right? I think one thing that is incredible about kind of what you're saying is by using your own platform, you guys are going to have a major, major game changer of a difference, right? So many of the folks we have on this show, Mark, Maris, they basically are leveraging whatever leading CX and CSS solutions are out there. Mm-hmm. And that's fantastic. That's great. There's a bunch of tried and true and trusted, you know, entities that have been providing and helping companies scale for decades now. But what I love about what you said is like, you guys, at least on the support and the success side, you're leveraging your own platform, you're leveraging your own tool. My guess is going to be that's going to increase the velocity quite a bit in terms of figuring out exactly what that sweet spot looks like for Tidio and for the Tidio customers, because again, it's all every business has its own set of requirements. But I also, you know, from all of the guests that we have on the show and then from all the customers that we're working with at CXC, I'm telling you that that's a game changer, meaning the businesses that we've seen and that we've worked with that are actually leveraging their own product, their ability to scale and their ability to be able to frankly do more with less is higher because of the fact that you don't maybe, and we'll get into this in tools a little bit down the road here, but like you're able to literally leverage all of the different parts of the solutions that you build. Like with Tidio, for example, you guys have everything, live chat, help desk. There's all these different multi-channel facets that you can work with. You guys have chatbots. You have, to your point, all sorts of funnel-based activity support items that you have all the way through retentions and how you can continue to communicate with customers. That's going to be a game changer for you guys. And I'm not going to be surprised if, you know, you mentioned 300,000 active users on the 30 people you guys have on your team. Like when you have a team of individuals that knows the tool that they're already using inside and out every single day, they can frankly do more. A lot of the companies that we see, especially growth companies, is really common with venture capital backed startup teams. The executives kind of assert which tools are going to be used without necessarily caring or having much of a say around the actual doers. That slows things down. That decreases velocity. That also puts a lot of CX and CS leaders in a precarious situation, which is like they need to think about utilization efforts or optimization efforts across 10 different SaaS tools instead of one. And then that becomes hard. So instead of spending time thinking about how you could have 30 people on 300,000 accounts, you're spending a ton of time just doing internal coaching, training, optimization. So anyway, just some initial thoughts, but I love that you guys are kind of like, and fantastic question too, by the way. And I love that you guys are kind of thinking about that. Before we get off of team, though, I want to understand what other departments or what other teams does your customer-facing team most interact with Tidio today? You mentioned that you're really close to sales. Can you spend a minute or two talking about what that interplay looks like between customer success and the revenue side of the business?
Yeah, so this is just the core. So the support team, I would say, is the core of the business. That's what we started with as well. So about half of that team is just customer support. And that's where these conversations are fun. You have this kind of a dream within a dream inception situation where we always have to think about, oh, we did this. So now we need to teach our clients how to do this, right? So, yeah. or we launched this optimization. We actually had like a fairly long project, about 8 months, where we tried to really have proper automation for the chatbots and then we grew the volume by about 50%, but didn't have to grow the team at all because we had all of these automations. But it took us 8 months. And then at the end of it, we're like, how are we going to teach this to our clients, right? Anyone can do it, but they need some support, right? So we did it with our own platform. We just kind of trial and error. And that's kind of the support side of it. So going into the rest of the teams, from there we have customer success for our high touch clients. So our top 1% of clients get customer success, dedicated one-on-ones. So we have about 5 people on that team for that. And then we have the sales team who basically closes these contracts. The 1% top of our clients are on a plan called TDO Plus. So we have kind of the rest of the team, a couple of operations people in there as well. And even services, we have just a small services team that helps deliver what the platform can. So going beyond the capabilities of the platform, we do that through services. So that's the full group. And when I started, we didn't have this top tier clients. I kind of went on a call with 100 of our top clients, closed 20 deals with a plan that didn't exist. So we rolled out this new plan, and that kind of set the stage of high touch customer success and building deeper relationships with our top clients.
I love it, man. I mean, you know it better than me, man. Like, relationships are everything. And it's funny because even in a world with AI, in a world with technology, and in a world where like every single solitary problem in the world has a million different pieces of technology solutions that can help you, it still comes down to people working with people, and people still do business with people that they like. It's as simple as that. And so, you know, you take that for what it's worth, but regardless of what business you're at, what industry you're in, what solution or whatever willy or where that you're selling as an individual professional, people do business with folks that they want to have a relationship, that they want to get on the phone with, that they find value from, that they learn things from, that they like. Even, I mean, dude, let's call it what it is. People, we spend so much time working that sometimes it's just nice to have partners, customers, or teammates that literally you enjoy that 1 hour a week that you get with them. Catching up about the business, catching up about their life, catching up about their customers or the things that they're doing or what they're learning. So all excellent, excellent points there. One quick question before we jump to the next pillar. Can you talk about where the TDO team is based today? I love asking this question because I'm really always trying to give them the different senses for how they can build a modern team, right? COVID changed the world for everybody. We know that. And I know people are sick of talking about it, but I still think it's important that every conversation, we're learning how different customer-focused business leaders kind of came out of that wild global experience. Because, I mean, I feel like every damn day I'm talking with people and they've technically become smarter, sharper, a little bit more optimized, a little bit quicker, a little bit more agile. What does your team look like at TDO? Are you guys based all over? Are there strategic teams located in specific areas? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it was actually quite tied to the pandemic. So before that, the team started in Poland, was based in Poland. They did an excellent job of scaling the business. And then when everyone started working remotely, they went outside and started looking for other people. I joined from Romania. We have a few people now from LATAM, and that was great for the time zones on the customer experience side. And ever since, like in the last couple of years, we've been hiring quite a bit. And we have people all over Europe. We have a couple of people in Canada, a couple of people in the US, some people in LATAM. So we're now truly a global company. When I joined, I think I was one of the first people that joined from like this global side of the company. The priority was, okay, how do we get these 30 people on my team to be fully aligned? Because we almost have like this funnel. We have a lot of free trials. We have 300,000 people that use the product every day. And then going into, okay, how many of them could potentially go to sales, how many of them would want to go on our top tier plan, going into customer success services. So now we have kind of the full understanding of our user base. If we can get the team to collaborate properly, despite the time zone, despite the growth. So I think we did that successfully. And I think that's the critical part on teams. Do they still understand the full vision? Do they still understand everything that's going on? And can we build those even internal relationships while working remotely so we can trust each other and kind of work with each other over Zoom, right?
Yep, that's awesome. I think that's it's a fantastic answer. I just think that like for our listeners, there's so many different ways that you could be building and leveraging a modern CX and CS and just customer focused team. You've got like exactly like Marius just said, that there's never been a time like this where you can literally find people from different cultures with different languages from different parts of the world. Not only does it help with support and success, and just like you mentioned, like round the clock coverage and all that fun stuff, it just helps with getting a completely unique, widespread point of view coming from your team. And frankly, as you know, Marius, with all these, when you're building companies like TDO and you're building a high paced, fast growth, scaling company, man, the more feedback or the more calls to action or the more possibilities that you can get from that initial team, the better, right? And then if that's a really diverse team, you're going to probably have a much better sense for how to serve a much bigger pocket of customers or future prospects. And that's something that, for lack of a better term, man, that's throwing gas on the fire of velocity and trying to figure out how to grow a business faster and smarter and all those fun things. So awesome answers here, Marius. And thank you so much for sharing that. Let's move to the second CX pillar of tools. All right, so I'm excited to ask this one. I know you're going to probably talk a lot about the TDO tool, but I'd love to just to kind of understand, as you guys scaled the business and as you've grown the team, how have you guys kind of thought about investing in your own tech stack? How have you thought about managing the utilization of the investments that you've made and some of the technology that you had to leverage to build TDO? I'd love for you to spend just a few minutes kind of talking about how your team has tackled tools.
Yeah, I to be honest, I like it to be simplified. I feel like you just need to have a few very good tools that can integrate with each other. And that's probably as simple as it gets. Of course, it's a bit more complicated to do than to say. But yeah, I do think that people sometimes go searching for the next tool because they're not happy with their current setup, but without properly utilizing the tools that they are currently using, right? So for us, it was all about just getting a couple of tools in place. So for example, even for our internal tool stack, of course, we use our own platform for the customer experience side. We use HubSpot for the sales side. We use Tango for the customer success side. So it's just a couple of tools that we kind of connected together and we're deploying. And I feel like any growing pains are actually in relation to utilizing the tool to its full potential, right? Who's actually using HubSpot to the maximum? Who's actually using something like Tango to the maximum? There's always more integrations that you can build, more automations that you can set up. You just need to have something that's powerful enough, set it up correctly, iterate, and make sure to kind of tie them all together so they work. So that's why even on our own platform, when we do the pure kind of client contact side, we have the chatbots, we have live chat, we have ticketing. They all work together, so that's a bit easier, right? You set it up once, and now you have all of these systems connected together. You have full visibility. But then beyond that, you might want to export your list to a HubSpot, right? If you're doing sales, you might want to connect to Slack or something like that, right? So there are like further connections that need to be made. But yeah, to me, it's all about integrations, maybe keeping it simple, and of course, sometimes it's not easy to keep it simple, but I think a reasonable attempt must be made so you don't accidentally kind of beat off more than you can chew.
I couldn't agree more with that. I think like one of the things that we find on a weekly basis, Marius, with some of the clients and some of the prospects that we're working with at CXC is it's just so common. You nailed it with your comment about like, especially startups and growth companies, because like they're already more technically inclined, or they're more comfortable with the technical possibilities of how they can leverage, you know, all of these incredible solutions out there to kind of grow their business, or to admittedly just to get shit started, for lack of a better term, right? It's hard to get things started, and it takes businesses a while to be able to afford incredible, smart, experienced people who can kind of come in and fan the flames of that. But the part that you mentioned about just simplifying your tech stack, picking a few key tools to really kind of master and really kind of be able to support the utilization of. I'll tell you, man, we see constantly, like we'll do our CS scorecards for clients that have, you know, 50 people in the company and they're maybe working on their first $10 million in sales, but they've got 25 pieces of SaaS technology when we do our audits. And it's like, and then you start to kind of dig in a little bit further where, okay, so then of the 25 pieces of technology, what are the top five tools that you expect your customer experience, your customer success, your customer support team to be able to leverage? And then we'll hear responses like, well, minimally half of these tools are built for them. And you're thinking like, wait a minute. So as a growth company, you're going to take the 10 people that you have and you're going to make them masters of 12 different pieces of software that you didn't even build or design. And you're not necessarily, because that's the other thing is some of these outside of Salesforce, HubSpot, Zendesk, you mentioned Tango. This is a big, huge industry leader, but like outside of some of these like industry leading pieces of technology, there's really, it's rare to find someone that knows every single solitary feature set, every single type of integration and implementation possible. That's rare, man. Like maybe Salesforce, HubSpot, like there's a couple of them where you have a whole, you know, field of experts that can help with implementation, integration, optimization. But like the other part is just think about like your day-to-day life, man. Like you don't, You don't get your news from 27 different places. You get it from two or three places. You don't do your banking with 15 different banks. You do it with one. You know, and I'm just giving like examples. You'd be like, I just think that that idea of simplification or keeping it simple and then focusing on how you can have a few tools. Like in your case with Tidio, you mentioned, you know, HubSpot, Tidio, Tatango. Man, that's easy to build playbooks around it. That's easy for onboarding. That's easy just for mastering too, man. Like mastering the tool sets. I think nobody wants to show up to their job and do, you know, shitty work. Everybody wants to show up to their work and be able to do the best possible job. And when you can help your employees by making it really easy for them to understand exactly how to master the tools that you need them to leverage on a day-to-day basis while serving your customers, that helps the EX side of the game too. So it's not just about, you know, mastering or optimizing your customer experience. It's also like there's this dual approach where you can be getting really great CX while building an incredible employee experience at the exact same time.
Absolutely. And yeah, so even when looking at our own tool, we are actually the top rated platform as well. So if you check us out anywhere online, you're going to see some incredible reviews, and you're going to see people saying that it's easy to use. So that's kind of the top thing that you hear about Tidio. It's easy to use, but I'm going to kind of show you what's behind the curtain here. It's not that easy, right? If you talk about the number of signups that we have every day, people do get sometimes lost in the platform. We offer them a blank slate for creating chatbots. That's kind of difficult. It's not just about how easy it is to create a chatbot. We can do that easily with our platform. But what chatbot are you creating? Are you improving the customer experience for your client? You have to think about strategy before you can build. So of course, the platform is easy to use, but do you have a good strategy of what you're trying to build? How do you start, right? So I feel like that's what we've learned a lot in the last couple of years. And when I started, it was all about how do we get people to build their strategy first and then build a chatbot so they offer an ideal customer experience. We all know that sometimes chatbots can be frustrating. You might get maybe too many pop-ups on a window. So that's kind of the bane of my existence, trying to get people to build something that's really good for the customer and have something good in place. And then AI came in, right? So now it's not about building the right chatbot flows that maybe kind of catch on to what the client wanted to say or what your visitor wanted to ask. Now we have AI chatbots, conversational chatbots, so basically similar to what you've seen on ChatGPT, our platform can do. And you don't have to build the chatbots anymore. You don't have to start from scratch anymore. You just feed it your knowledge base. And then that AI agent will talk to your clients as any other support agent. And that's what we found to be the biggest breakthrough. So when I joined Tidio, I didn't know that we were heading that way. And then about a year ago, this started happening. And now we're officially live. We have Lyro, our conversational AI, that just takes any knowledge base, takes any type of even internal knowledge base that you can feed it, and then learns from it and really talks to your clients without having to have those weird, are you talking to a robot feeling that sometimes you do.
I that's so funny that you say that. First thing you see when you go to the Tidio website, solve up to 70% of customer problems with AI. And this is a conversation point, and this is just a general topic that has been extremely, extremely hot for a while now. Everybody's talking about AI. Everyone's talking about machine learning. Everyone's talking about all of these different points that can really kind of help change the course for your business. But I love the point you're making here, Marius, which is like you still need people involved in the process. And the strategy bit that you talked about, the strategy point is so spot on, because it's like all of this stuff is fantastic, and every one of these tools that's out there on the market can absolutely help change your business or absolutely help to support your team. But before any of that happens, there is a group of humans that need to sit down and agree upon what the strategic roadmap looks like, what core areas of focus and investment you're actually able to make as a business. And that's going to be different for every one of us guys, right? Because every one of us has different budgets. We've got different needs. We've got different challenges. That's just the reality with all these businesses that we're all running and helping to lead today. And last thing is just like that strategy oftentimes will dictate or determine which solutions might be optimal for your business at different points in its scaling plan. Because this is the other thing, like you're at a super cool company where you guys are seeing rapid growth, right? Not every company gets to see that. Some companies just have more organic, slow, steady growth, and it takes them 10 years to get to a point where you go from an incredible idea or a small group of, you know, founding members to a big business. Some people go much quicker than that. But I love what you're laying out here, Marius, which is like taking the time to set your strategy before the investment in the tools and the data. The last thing is this: it's not just the investment in tools. Every one of our listeners right now knows the pain or the rigmarole of, like, if, God forbid, if you have to change a tool, that can be super, dude, that can cost your job. I mean, think about it. When you're a CX and a CS leader, you pick the wrong tool, or you advise your executive leadership team what solution you're going to invest in for the next 2 or 3 years, and then you're going to bring, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 of your CX or CS agents behind that. That's an extremely expensive decision that you're making. And if you make the wrong one, most executive leadership teams are going to be kind of thinking about it. So I love some of these points that you're laying out on the tool side. And I want our listeners, I want to just kind of mental note, pause this and go back and kind of listen to that point that Mary's just made about strategy first, tool selection or tool shopping later. I think that's a brilliant piece of advice. Mary, let's dive into the third CX pillar of process, because, and it's funny, you were just mentioning leveraging like your living playbook or your confluence of knowledge or just your general knowledge bases, leveraging that with AI. Before we even get into that part, I'd love to kind of understand, like, how have you and your, first of all, how have you as a customer focused business leader over your journey, how have you kind of thought about how you can tackle or optimize process as a business scales? Like, so like, what are some of the different ways that you've tried to curate living playbooks? What are some of the ways that you've gotten your team together to at least do the outlines or the, or create the map, for lack of a better term, of what the playbooks need to look like? I get it. I know that AI can help populate a bunch of this stuff. I get that. Like, I promise you, like, with a lot of the living playbook work that we're doing too right now at CXC with our clients, we're showing them different ways that they can leverage prompts to be able to leverage. So like, I get that, but I'd like to kind of hear some of the ways that you've seen work really well in the past that you're just going to continue to leverage into the future and then amplify with AI and machine learning.
Yeah, and I think this also maybe goes back to strategy first. So you have to have the strategy. To me, that usually starts with maybe a customer journey map or customer success journey map, understanding what you're trying to get your visitors, your customers to achieve. So I think it does probably start in a closed room, just brainstorming and talking about what you know about your visitors first. And it can be 10 visitors, maybe you just started, or it can be your massive user base, but it needs to start somewhere. So on the support side, I think that's a bit different. So that's why I keep calling, like, I feel like the support side is a solved problem. You just need to set up something in place. You might have even conversational AI in place, and that can take care of like these reoccurring questions. But I feel like that's the tip of the iceberg. So, okay, now you're communicating with your visitors and either through operators or through AI, but then why are you communicating with them? What are you trying to achieve? What is success for them, right? So you might be answering their questions, and even if you solve 70% of them automatically or 100% of them automatically, I feel like that's just something that you must do as a business nowadays, right? It's something that has to happen. And then from that point, that's, I feel, where you really get into processes and strategy. Okay, what is customer success? How do we define it? What can we do? And how do we deploy it, right? So that can be a customer success team. It can be high touch. It can be low touch. And just having those key points of interactions that can really affect the behavior of your visitors. So I think that's where it starts. And that's where we go from this, okay, we solved the half of reactive support. We solved the half where we are able to answer questions. Maybe even we identify some problems proactively. We reach out to clients ourselves when we see that they're stuck. But the true value is when you get clients to succeed, right? If you have a few visitors, you're trying to make the most of them. Can you jump in if they don't reach out to you, right? What about the 90, I think it's the number I last checked is something like 97% of people that go on your website don't reach out to your team. So you have to understand what they're doing, maybe reach out to them. And you have to have some processes in place to know when to reach out to the right person at the right time. So it maybe goes back to personalization as well.
See, and I love that. That is clearly the marketing, the sales leader in you talking right there, which is like, you're spot on, man. Like, part of understanding that journey, part of starting with the journey, frankly, is exactly that. It's just understanding the different puzzle pieces, for lack of a better term, that you have to drop on the table and start to slowly put back together. I know with me and my team at CXC, it's like, you know, we started this business backwards. I started a podcast before I ever had managed service offerings or strategic partners available to be able to bring to the market or be able to help other customer-focused business leaders understand just the how-to or the where to start of this big, complex, expansive space that we both work in. And you're spot on, man. It could be as simple as understanding who's engaging with your content and who. So start with the coming to the website. That's a huge part. But like, who's coming to the website? Who's engaging with our content? This is why you see so many, I think, CS leaders, frankly, putting out incredible content and incredible ideas around what the future of selling will likely look like, right? Because more often than not in today's world, you need to give a tremendous amount of free information, free knowledge. You have to gain a tremendous amount of credibility for free before you're ever going to get a potential new user, customer, or prospect to oftentimes even want to do a discovery call with one of your salespeople, right? Even to literally see if there's like a qualified match or if there's a way that you can collaborate or help with each other. I guess the other big thing too is, I love your point about jumping in, man, because this is to the point back that we just made, that we both made in the pillar before this, which is like, as much as the world is going to continue to race towards AI, machine learning, and just tech, which I promise you guys, I love it, and I have built my whole career on it, but like, it still requires people to be able to insert themselves and make like key decisions and essentially tee up like the primary calls to action or CTAs that some human still needs to do. Now, you might be able to then, once you get to that point, you understand that strategy, you understand those different activities within that strategy, then you can deploy technology and you can leverage these things. But it's like, I love them. And it's funny, we talk to so many companies, so many growth companies, Marius, that they aren't necessarily doing this, meaning they do have a tremendous amount of information or possibilities at their fingertips, even if they're a smaller customer portfolio, say, even with customers that are prospects that have 100 accounts, but with 100 accounts, maybe they have, you know, 5 points of contact for each account. There's 500 potential pieces of information or potential pieces of data that you can dig into and start to extrapolate other ideas or other possibilities or things that you should be doing, whether manual or automated, to be able to build the business, grow business. You mentioned at the beginning of this call, like finding, you know, reaching out to 100 customers on a listening tour, and then you find 30 new deals inside of it, or you find 30 new possible upsells or cross-sells. That's the type of stuff that I think a lot of growth companies get so caught up in, like traditional selling, traditional marketing, you know, outbound sales and, setting up their BDR. And the reality is, like, oftentimes you got a ton of money and a ton of promoters or prospects or referral based, like, nothing's better than like some of these CS qualified leads, right? Like, a lot of companies don't even qualify, they don't even count CSQLs, right? Like, but a CSQL has a much higher conversion rate. It probably has a higher LTV correlation if you start to have some of your data nerds crank into this stuff, guys. But like, the other thing too is, those are gonna be easier deals to sell, and they're gonna be easier deals to service. So like,
we actually have data on all of that. So we know from our own experience that everything you just said is true. So we know that those numbers stack up, and we really like kind of the flow of leads coming from the customer experience team. And that's why, I mean, people say that AI should help and kind of enhance what you're doing, but not replace it. And that couldn't be more true. So when we launched this, we basically launched conversational AI. In the first week, we removed about 50% of requests, and the AI was taking over. And then the support team was kind of supervising the AI doing it. And then in the second week or the third week, we went up to 70%. And then very quickly, like in the first team meeting, we realized how we can use this like fully to our advantage. Not just, okay, we decreased the volume by 70%, but what's the true value of this? And then we realized, okay, we were trying to support people with the support team, solve their problems. Now the AI can do it for us. What do we do with that time? And we realize that people have problems that they don't voice, right? They don't, those are just the people that voice their issues. Now they can be solved automatically by our AI. And now our support team proactively identifies problems, right? If someone gets stuck on a page, if someone gets stuck building a chatbot, we trigger a notification for a support person, and then our kind of real operators, not AI, can jump in and talk to that person and say, okay, you've been on this page for half an hour. What's going on? Do you need help? So we are now identifying deeper problems, I think, not just those surface problems that people come to you and could be solved by an AI, which is now happening. But what is the deeper problem that our clients have, and we have this huge volume, and even if you had lower volume, that would give you more time to be more proactive and more deliberate in your approach. So not just wait for clients to come to you with some kind of reoccurring issues like the standard issues that everyone has, but you identifying where problems really lie and how can you truly help clients if you reach out to them and open up that channel of communication. And we're actually experimenting right now with just opening up a full like video channel of communication. So if someone has kind of a deeper problem and just wants to jump on a call instantly with a support agent, they can. And that would have been impossible with the volume before, but now we can do it because we get all of the support from the AI.
I love that. Number one, I think there's a lot of customers out there. Like when you put, just typically put yourself in your, in put yourself as a customer in your customer's shoes, like nothing's better than when you are, when you actually do hit that roadblock and you can just click a button to jump on a video because you know it's not, a, it's not, especially because people in our space, right? People that are probably using the Tidio tool, they understand, you know, they understand customer support, they understand customer success, they understand CX, and they understand all the different facets. So like to have a multi-medium option available is a game changer, right? Regardless if they're text people, SMS people, chat people, phone, video people, what, in-person people, there's all the different things. That is a game changer. You make yourself available and you create those mediums for where your customers want to meet you. I love that. There's another thing that you just said that, that's got me thinking though of, you know, your ability to, your ability as a company, or more specifically guys listening to this show right now, your ability as a CX or a CS or a customer focused business leader to get really good at not just predicting what your customers might or may do, but then being able to get in front of things before they, before it even happened, and maybe they begin to build some prevention mechanisms. So like one part prediction, another second part prevention, but then the third part that you started getting into, like the minute you can predict, prevent, and then promote like the good actions or the good activities or the best practices that are going to yield utilization of your tool, or they're going to yield the highest value that one could potentially gain from the product or your service you're selling. That is built in retention right there. That's like how you create stickiness. That's how you get people feeling like, holy cow, like Marius and his team, they knew what my problems were before I even brought it. How did they know that? And whether it's AI or not, let's you guys should take the win for that, because that's the type of stuff that makes customers not want to leave or not want to shop or not want to go to another solution and instead rather grow their roots with your team or with your business, in which case then you start to get some of the stuff that we're always talking about as CX and CS leaders, right? We're increasing lifetime value, we're increasing retention, we're reducing churn, we're able to then leverage the relationship, the deeper relationships we have, to extract more feedback from our users and our customers about how we can get better or what future products and services might look like. So this is like the name of the game, brother. All these things are awesome that you're kind of laying out for us. I'd love to dive into the fourth and the final pillar of feedback. And I want you, let me answer this, or I'll ask this in a two-part question, but I'd love to, number one, just kind of hear how you and your team at Tidio has leveraged your customer feedback. And then I'd love to kind of understand how you guys have leveraged some of your employee feedback as you've grown the team and as you've been able to build a global, you know, remote team, you know, with awesome folks all across the planet.
Yeah, as I was saying, this is actually one of the more interesting parts about working at Tidio, because everything we do, then we have to kind of mimic and replicate for our customers. So all of the conversations start with some type of piece of feedback, and then trying to identify if it's just us who has this problem or our clients have the same issue. And with the volume as well, we kind of go across industries and a bit across segments as well. It's really important to still be focused and find maybe what's universally true or what's kind of universal feedback that can affect the largest percentage of your user base. And then for us, it's just important to get that feedback loop going, right? So identifying who's asking for what, what's the volume, what's the velocity, what are people actually needing versus what they're saying that they need, and trying to kind of gather that feedback and act on it. So I think we're in a lucky position because we're using our own product. And then I was lucky enough to work with these amazing product and research teams that are really proactive as well. So for us, it felt like we always had kind of a natural progression. And even this video thing that I was telling you about, that's actually like a closed feature, but it's within our own platform. We realized that, hey, people want that real life experience, and we need to do something more. It's not enough to just have kind of the live chat. Can we add video to it? So we talked about it a bit. Product team was very kind of proactive, and now we have it. It's not officially live, but within you and I, we use it. So I think it helps because it's our we use our own product. So we're in a fortunate position that really kind of streamlines all of these requests. It makes collaboration easier, and it makes understanding of the product throughout the internal organization a bit easier. I think if you don't use your own product due to the nature of the product, it's a bit tougher, and that's where you need to have maybe a more like directed effort in making sure that feedback is properly collected and acted upon. But again, with the right people, so maybe going back to teams, right? You need to have the right people. You need to know that you're pulling in the same direction. And I feel like that's where feedback doesn't fall on deaf ears, right? So I think this is always kind of a bit of a process, it's maybe the most important thing that you can do, right? The evolution of your company.
I couldn't agree more, man. I say it literally all the time on the show, and I say it all the time with our clients at CC, but you know, customer and employee feedback is pure gold. It's pure gold. It's almost a form of currency if it's leveraged, if it's acted upon. And then obviously everything that you just laid out, Mary, is spot on. Like your ability to assess it, to be able to compartmentalize it, to be able to understand what is realistic to go after versus maybe what is like further on down the road. Because that's reality too, man. So a big, huge part of CX and CS leaders in today's world is helping executive leadership teams understand where to place bets and where to spend limited or precious resources. It is what it is. One quick thing that you just mentioned on that video solution part. Number one, I would love to be able to come back to that maybe in the future when it's rolled up. But like we had, this is several months ago, we have one of our good friends here at CX Chronicles, Fran Brisky, who's the founder and CEO at Hark. You know, he built a video solution that is literally built for the entrepreneurs who have to have video because of the things that they're selling. So when I heard you say that video point at Tidio, you guys are doing a fantastic job of just having another medium available for people to be able to jump on and talk. Guys, listeners, think about some of your friends who are running retail operations or physical operations where the ability to simply jump on a 2-minute video and show Marius or show Adrian a tangible thing in the world, right? Maybe you have like a little willy or word. You need to show it on video to explain the problem. But by doing that, it theoretically shortens the length of time to resolution. Game changer. You've just figured out a simple way of being by simply using that medium. Maybe you can get more tickets done with less people and less time and effectively keep your customer satisfaction high, keep your customer support team in a good spot. So like, I love those ideas there. I think it's things that are, you know, that folks really need to be thinking about as they kind of move into the future and think about what the future of their CX and CS and support teams are going to look like.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a bit of a gamble as well. So even with conversational AI, ChatGPT, I think, really took off last year, right? Maybe Q4, maybe Q3. Yeah. So then we noticed like people asking about, do you have something like ChatGPT? Do you have something like ChatGPT? And no one had, right? It was like too early for the industry to have it. We talked about it, I believe, in Q4 of last year. And then at the beginning of Q1, I took a 1 week, maybe it was 10-day vacation. When I came back, we had the name, we had the plan, it was on the roadmap. So I kind of missed the development of it, but our product team was really proactive. And now we were one of the first, I believe, two players that fully have conversational AI out. And it's a big bet for us. We sold a few of these packages even before it was out. So that's a really good sign. And now the last couple of weeks, we went live. But we even a couple of months before the launch, we already sold it. So people do want it and it is powerful. Now we see it live on our own website for our own support team. So it was an example of kind of getting that feedback from clients. Hey, we want something more automated, or I'm just starting my business. I don't have enough funds to hire someone full time. Even if I hire the support agent full time, they're only going to be there 8 hours a day. Can I just use ChatGPT for support? And of course, there are like security concerns with ChatGPT. There are hallucinations concerns as well. So you can't really have that in a business setting. So that's why we used Anthropic and Claude, and we used our kind of our own model as well, and kind of made sure that it sticks to your knowledge base and really delivers the same experience a real operator could. So then if you do have operators, the support agents, they can focus on something more proactive. So that's a nice example of just kind of feedback going through processes, through teams, and being able to make a significant change. So for us, this is a big bet for the future as well. It's not just one feature. It's kind of the big focus for the upcoming months.
I love it, Marius. That's fantastic to hear that. And then I guess just quick thought is like, for all of the folks in the CX Nation that I've had the good pleasure of chatting with over the last couple of years, this is why living playbooks are critical, because at the time, you might not have thought about, well, there's all these other priorities, or there's all these other things, there's all these other fires I need to accomplish, or I need to go extinguish before I can focus on my living playbooks. If you start to work on the living playbooks today, all of these other enhancements and all of these other points of lever can be put into play, right? So then being able to leverage ChatGPT, being able to leverage some of the different AI components that the Marius is talking about today, you actually have enough substance and you've curated enough content to be able to feed these things so that you can actually start to extrapolate more out of it. That's the big part of it. Last thing is this, controlling a monitor, right? This stuff changes every damn day, every week, every month. And then the smartest companies on planet Earth, they do the controlling and the monitoring of their playbooks and other FAQs and other knowledge base based on what the community is saying, the good, the bad, and the ugly from their users and from their customers. So I absolutely love it. Marius, this has been absolutely fantastic. Before I let you go, sir, where can people find out more about Tidio and where can people get in touch with you and your team to learn more about the incredible product and the solutions that you guys have built?
Yeah, tidio.com, so tidio.com. You can also see our AI bot, Lyro, in action. So just try to talk to the support team and he's going to jump in and going to help you out so you can see how it works. You can also sign up for a trial. We offer 50 free conversations. So if anyone wants to like feed their own knowledge base or FAQ and see how it would work, the first 50 conversations are free, no credit card required. So you can just sign up and test it out for yourself. We're quite proud of the work that the product team has done and the entire team has done to roll this out. I think that's the best way to reach us. And of course, if you want to reach out to me directly, I'm at marius@tidio.net. So you can reach out to me there and we can talk about anything you have in mind.
Fantastic. I love it. And Marius, one last quick point is, guys, anybody that's interested, we'll always put this in the show notes and we'll put everything that Marius just chatted about in the show notes. But we also have, if you visit tidio.com/CXC and start using Tidio, there's some really cool things that Marius and the team have set up for us as well. So like, if you're interested in learning more about this tool, check it out today. Awesome tool, awesome team. And it really can be a game changer for your business, especially our growth business out there. Man, there's so many different things that you guys can help them with. So Marius, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining the CX Chronicles podcast. It's been an awesome experience chatting with you and learning more about the team that you guys are building.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the CX Chronicles podcast. We're thrilled to have you as a part of the CX Nation, tuning into customer-focused business leaders from across the world. Be sure to check out the CXC website, and as always, find us on any of your favorite podcast players, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Thanks so much for making this show a reality and being a part of the CX Nation. And as always, folks, remember to make happiness a habit.